Hello and welcome back to Social Small Business, the podcast where we talk about everything small business and marketing. My name is Brooks Gray and I'm here with Lee Simkowski. We're with South Marketing Group. And today is a special day for us.
It is so special. So I get to do this intro, right?
Yes, I would love for you to do
this. I'm so excited. My friend, Brett Williamson from the infamous Lakeway Auto, I talk about every week, is here joining us today to talk about generational businesses and EVs, also known as electric vehicles.
This is going to be exciting.
I know. Thank you, Brett.
It'll be interesting.
Because you listen to every podcast, right?
Absolutely.
We've hyped this up quite a bit, so if it's
I've been talking about it for weeks.
Yeah, if it's not good, it'll be
disappointing. Of course, you know I've been talking about it for weeks because you listen to my podcast, right?
Absolutely. It'd be great.
So, Brett, I'm gonna get sentimental for just a minute. Like, he is been a huge supporter of South Marketing Group, and at our ribbon cutting last year, I said, you surround yourself with people that make you want to do better and be better. And he has done that for me as an individual and our business. So I'm thankful to you because you keep pushing us to be innovative in our industry and learn more. And I appreciate you for that. So thank you for being here.
And also, first client.
Yes, he was.
So I guess I need to thank you because without you, there may not be a job for me. So.
Yeah, we kind of grew up in Lakeway, not together like as kids, but when you first came back to Lakeway, that's when I first started. So we kind of have done kind of walked this road a little bit together, and he has done, an excellent job of transitioning from the way things were done to now being all electronic and all that. And that's what I want to start off with. Just kind of like, did you always know you wanted to be in the business?
Yes, no, yes.
Because you went away for a little while.
I did, but that was kind of part of the plan. So grew up, provided a great lifestyle for my family. When I was a kid and growing up, part of the plan, if I wanted to get back into business at some point as a career, was that I had to go work for somebody else for a period of time. Get out of the familiar setting and working mm-hmm. for your father. And I did that on my own. I wasn't really forced at the time, but the relationship between my father and I, being father son or boss employee, that was stressful a lot of the time. So it jeopardized our relationship as father son, having to work with him every day.
But he's also a good mentor, right?
Great.
A professional mentor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Just at that time, it was just difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So
all family businesses experience that, I think.
It's tough. Yeah.
I even had to take a family business class in college.
How'd that help you?
well, you know, I was in there for a little while and then moved back to Tennessee. But they talk about the challenges. You kind of have to turn it off at Thanksgiving dinner, right?
Yeah, and that's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, we still don't do that very well. But we're in a different stage than what we were back at that point. So, yeah, I went and worked for Wyndham for 3 years, got away from the business, and a corporate world versus family owned and operated in a small town. Mm. Two completely different things. I wanted to get back once I met my wife, started talking about a family, a career.
She's my favorite thing about you, by the way.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. I guess after being in that world for a period of time and knowing that you're just a number, there's not really a sense of community, you're not doing anything to help anybody, made me want to get back into the business. So we moved back to Morristown and started the long path of transition from not really knowing how to run a business or Lakeway Auto to, you know, transitioning to where we are today.
But it seemed to me when I first came in there and started working with you that you had a vision, and your vision was to update all the processes, update how we do marketing, update how we do almost everything.
Yeah, I could have been a tornado if my father would have allowed me. And well, I'm glad that he didn't.
I was going to ask you how much, I know part of the struggle was being a family business and working with your father, but also I don't know you as well as Lee does, but what little I do know you, you seem like the type of person who is full of ideas. And I know that can be a problem a lot of times too. If you've got a lot of ideas and you're working with somebody that's hesitant to change or doesn't want to change as much as you do. So do you think some of that even played into it? Like maybe maybe he had ideas, but like,
well, him and his partner, who I got to give all the credit to. I mean, they started Lake Wyoto. They built the foundation of the business. They built our customer base. I wouldn't have an opportunity, nor would any of our employees, if it wasn't for them. But they were both very complacent in the way that they did business. Kind of, it's not broke, don't fix it. Well, that's not the way that I saw things, and we could do more and we could improve. And so, yeah, I had a lot of ideas and wanted to change everything. And my father was big on make one change, make it successful, see the results, get buy-in from everybody.
That's good. That's good advice.
Then go on to the next. Yeah, if I wouldn't have done that and would have come in and changed everything and changed all the processes, it would have been, it would have not been good.
Do you feel like that approach made the employees respect you more? You built the trust.
Yeah,
and
they got to see some results, and they got to see the how it's helping them, how it's helping the community, our customers, how the employees are benefiting from it, versus just some new guy coming in that has no experience operating a business and is making all these changes, and they don't know if it's going to work or not.
And we've seen that approach happen in our community, and the results of that approach.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I do commend your dad for that advice.
No, it was frustrating at the time, because I wanted to change so much. And as I learned more, I wanted to make even more changes, and he pumped the brakes on them, and he let me make them with time as we were successful, and it was the right way to do it.
Well, you've made a lot of decisions that have significantly affected the growth of Lake Wyoto. Can you give us some of those decisions that you made, that you made along the way, that you did one at a time?
Yeah. I think the mindset and the complacency that the dealership was at, and getting buy-in from the employees was big. So just simply in terms of what we were selling and what we had historically been doing, 60, 70 cars a month, and wanting to push the bar and see how much we could do, which we still don't know what that number is, but we're continuing to push harder and harder.
So when you say that, the inventory, you changed the inventory a little bit. You have some unique...
Definitely. Inventory is a big thing that we've changed. We've started stocking more. We've started stocking different varieties of inventory. We try different things. You know, we were kind of in a mindset of this is what we sell. These are the people that we sell to. And with the internet, the number of vehicles that we sell out of state, and we don't box ourselves in on what we can sell, because there's a car for everybody. Everybody's looking for something different. We're not just selling to people in Morristown, Tennessee. So inventory was big. The way that we sell it, give credit to you and South Marketing with social media and digital marketing, which we were doing none of. You all said a minute ago, and that's just, we got to have it. And that piece has been huge for us. And
we kind of did that by trial and error. Well, if it's not working, we change it up. If it's not, and for 7 years now. Yeah, for 7 years we've been doing that.
Yeah.
And that's probably a good place to interject too, that the importance of keeping data and keeping analytics on everything you're doing, because you wouldn't know what's working and what's not working if you don't crunch those numbers.
All right, so great constantly. Point to the next thing, that one of the changes that we made that made a huge difference was the dealership management system that we're using now with the reporting that keeps every piece of data that we want, that now probably goes back 6 years, 5 years maybe. Before that, we didn't have one. So we couldn't track anything. If we wanted to see what we sold in the summer of 2000 and 14, we can't go back and pull that. Now we can customize any report that we want, and the data that we can get from that's, it's a game changer.
And to be able to look at our CM, our customer relationship or CRM, and go, who's the most engaged right now?
Yeah,
and reach out to those people. It's just it gives us a variety of ways that we can approach the customer.
One of the major changes, along with social media, digital marketing, is just the technology in general. Look, we weren't using any technology when I came back into the business, and there's so many different platforms that we have now, it's almost overwhelming to keep up with all of it.
We could have 100 dashboards if we wanted them.
Yeah, and you know, to use that stuff efficiently, you got to log in, and it has the data that you want, but you can only track and manage so much stuff. But the technology on the way we buy cars and how we market them, and that's been huge.
Well, what I would want to ask you there is, I kind of see probably car dealerships, an older generation, and then I think of you as like the new way of doing things. And I think some of the older generation would probably have this mindset of like, yeah, everything we do, we want to be personal. We want to have that interaction with the customer. So how have you tackled some of those battles? Because you want to push the technology forward, but you still want to have those relationships with your customers.
We want to have them when we're able to have them, but there's so many customers that they don't want that.
They prefer, you know, a text or a message. I mean, it's going that
way.
They will
not answer the phone. You send them a text, that's, and you me. Get an immediate response. So, yeah, obviously a different generation. We sold a car to a guy yesterday, probably 87, and I called him trying to get him back in, and he didn't even want to talk to me on the phone. He wanted to do it all in person. And he said, I'm going to come in. I'm a man of my word. What I tell you, I'll do. And he showed up 30 minutes later. So when we're able to build those relationships, it's huge, because so many of our customers are repeat and referral. Mm-hmm. And that's what Lakeway Auto was built off of, and the foundation of it. But
it's generations. We have generations of families who buy from Lakeway Auto.
Yes. Some of those want a relationship, and they want to come in, and they like seeing the familiar faces. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to come to the store at all. So, you know, we adapt and recognize the different relationships and the kind of people that we have. And
I think this is a good time to bring up COVID, because COVID didn't really affect Lakeway Auto, because we had all that stuff in place, the social, the digital, we could buy online. It really did not, there was not a big disruption, was there?
No, there was not at all. You did a nice job preparing us for that. None of us really knew
what that would. I wasn't fishing for that. I'm just, well, I was commending you.
It's the truth. It could have really hurt us, but yeah, there wasn't really a downtime. We were prepared to handle business however a customer wanted. And for probably a year, majority of the people did not want to come in and do a transaction in the store. Or if they did, they wanted everything done before they got
right
there.
And then, I mean, we took all the measures too and let people know we were safe. But it really, from a sales standpoint, I don't think we were that affected.
No, we were very blessed.
Yeah. And that was probably huge too, when you even look at the inventory shortage that, you know, maybe we're still going through. I don't know, but it got bad there for a while. And so
not for him. Well, he's got some great contacts.
I was going to say, for a business like you, I would say there are a lot of dealers out there who are not only having to worry about like, how do we get with customers and do all the paperwork when we can't meet face to face and all this stuff. And then the inventory on top of that, it was like you didn't have to fight that side of the battle as far as like keeping the business running efficiently.
No, we didn't. And one of the other changes that I'm going to give credit to that most people don't understand, but I'm in a 20 group with 19 other dealers. And, you know,
and it's all used car dealers, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. All doing around the same volume, all spread from Florida to Hawaii, all across the country. And during that time period, we had weekly calls, weekly Zoom calls to just try to see what everybody was doing and what were we going to do. And the majority of us just decided to take some risk. And when majority of the dealers were shut down or not buying cars, not really even doing business, we jumped in and started buying cars, and a lot of them, and they were really cheap because the market was so soft, and we took advantage of it. And again, gambled, had success with it, and just kept it rolling. And we're still doing it where some people are conservative.
Yeah, they've got a lot of, check them out, LakewayAutoSales.com. They got a lot of unique inventory. I got to put that little plug in there. Speaking of inventory, the future of electric vehicles, the EVs, I'm not sold on it. As personally not sold on it, because when I travel, I don't want to stop and charge my vehicle. I don't want to have to worry about charging it at night. But what are your thoughts on EVs? I know we have some on the lot.
We do. We sell them. We don't actively try to buy them. We buy them off of local individuals majority of the time. There's so many unknowns, and there's a lot of unknowns. There's issues that we're seeing right now, which I know we're going to talk about in a minute, but the cost of them is huge. Brooks and I were talking about that before we started, and the average family can't afford an EV. So,
or fit all their family into one.
Right. At a $60,000-$70,000 price point, right. You know, you just, it's hard to make sense of. And they're not free. I think that's a misconception, you know, as far as operating a vehicle, you're not putting gas in it, but they're not free. Somebody's got to pay for the electricity.
Right.
So that's not talked about much. I think there'll be a point in time way down the road that everything is electric. Does it mean you can't buy vehicles that are combustion engines and run off of gas? But that's way down the road.
So they're saying 2035.
That's not going to happen.
I didn't think so either.
No, people in California can't even charge their vehicles right now.
I was going to say,
because of the rolling blackouts, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that what they're doing in California will be a good test market, an indicator of what the future will hold?
It's definitely opening everybody's eyes to, you know, there's problems here, and they've got to be sorted out, or we're going to invest the money in buying a vehicle to save on gas, and we can't charge it. You know,
can't get to work.
Yeah, I read an article the other day talking about what the typical house, the electricity that's provided throughout your neighborhood. And that if everybody installs a charging station and everybody's charging their vehicle at the same time, the infrastructure in our neighborhoods is not set up, it would crash.
I heard that from our local power supplier here in town.
Yeah, so how do you transition into that? Our president was on the news last night talking about the $7.5 billion investment in charging stations across the country, and he just approved it for the first 35 states. So you can add more charging stations, but still you got to pay to charge your vehicle. If you're going to do it right and cheaper, then you're going to set up a charging station at home. And then what does the infrastructure look like in Morristown, Tennessee to do that?
Yeah.
In the smaller towns.
I was at a round table with our Senator Marsha Blackburn, and our power company was there, and he said this isn't sustainable for our area. And there's a lot of pushback, I think, to say 2035 is just around the corner. We can't get our power grid to the point where we can support, and how's our community going to afford?
Yeah, it's not going to happen in that time frame. And they said last night on the news, by 2030, they want 50% of all vehicle sales in the country to be electric. And we're just not set up to do that. There's way too much that's involved, and we're going to have to get some cheaper vehicles. You know, a $60,000 price point on an electric vehicle.
And that's a good price on one, right?
That's a good price. Yeah. You can spend north of $100,000. That's not affordable. Then you do go to the cheaper ones, and there are with Nissan and Chevrolet. You know, you got a 25 miles that you can go on a charge. You break down the cost of what that is after you charge your vehicle, you're around 40 cents a mile. And then it switches to gasoline anyway. You're not really gaining much.
So is that what you would call a hybrid?
That is a hybrid. Yes, definitely. Yes.
Hey, thank you for all this information packed into a short 20 minutes. I appreciate you being here. You can find this guy at the dealership at 7 o'clock in the morning. He works his tail off. So I appreciate you taking the time to be here. Follow Lakeway Auto Sales on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and their website again is lakewayautosales.com.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I can't wait until we have electric vehicles and we can start placing ads. Kind of like YouTube. You got to watch an ad before you drive your car.
Yeah. Hey, we didn't even get into the whole like paying for heated seats thing. Maybe we'll have to have you back and talk about the subscription plans at some
point.
I'm
sure a lot of people would love to hear about that.
Hey, why does Snoop Dogg use an umbrella? Faux drizzle.
Great joke.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for being here, Brett. Great day. Hope you all have a great rest of the week. Whenever you're listening to this, God bless you. Until next time.